You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
Welcome to another episode of the Cooligan.
An exciting episode, a very special interview.
Yeah.
Because, I'm currently a dad.
You right now are holding a baby.
Right now I'm currently breastfeeding a child.
You're probably burping a child over your shoulder, and you got a lot of practice with it because that's what you do to me when we're on the road.
So
And I eat too much and my tum-tum hurts.
Okay. I'm nothing but a good mom.
Okay. Right? The breastfeeding you could use a little work with. But everything else, you're pretty great.
Exactly. So as always,
it's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we do have a special episode.
It's just the Mike Malley in house.
Yes, sir.
Always on the production. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So we have a very special episode because while you were away, while you were busy.
I'm going to be pretty quiet for a lot of this episode.
Because
I hate this guy and I refuse to talk to him. That's why.
While you were away and yes. Obviously working with CBS and doing
hugging Thierry Henry, doing what I do.
I said, hey, I got a text from one of the homies, Ian Edwards.
He said, you up? Better idea. Come do this podcast, okay. Bro.
But he was in town, a hilarious comedian. If you don't know Ian Edwards, go watch his specials. He's been on every late night show imaginable. He tours with everybody, Bill Burr, Joe Rogan, he's everywhere.
He does it all.
He does it all.
He's great writer as well, has written on a bunch of shows.
Just hilarious comic. And also, big fan of a footy, okay?
Yeah, huge fan of the Cooligans as well.
Exactly. And he's been on the show before. We've been on his show, The Soccer Comic Rant. So right. he came through.
Shouts to Lee Hudson, who's also on that show.
Okay.
Yeah,
so he came through, and we had a little sit down, especially because Ian Edwards, we all, the last time he was on the show, he poo-poos American soccer, MLS. He's just like,
why? He said he would never watch it. And then lo and behold,
LAFC starts, and it's a couple blocks away from him. And all of a sudden, he's out there chilling on the plush seats with Bill Burr.
You know what I mean? Just hanging out with Will Ferrell. By the way, a lot less poo-pooing going on and a lot more woo-hooing going on.
Okay. Got it. Just a change of his tune. All right. But Ian Edwards did come by, and we had a long conversation so he can right some of his wrongs, some of the things he has said.
And
about.
Also so he could write off his trip to New York.
Okay, but before we get to that conversation, because it was a very chill conversation.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a great way. Now you get to relax, and you know how we relax.
I do know how we relax. We relax with an ice-cold Coors Light.
We open up one of these bad boys right here, a nice cold Coors Light, and you know how we know it's cold? You don't have to guess. You don't have to put it to your friend's, neck and see if they go, you know what I mean? What we do is we just look at it.
For years, that's how it was done.
It was really the only way.
Before the innovation of Coors Light, how we did it.
Coors Light stopped that because now the mountain on the can turns blue.
Coors Light is out here saving your boy's neck.
Remember when Wu-Tang said you best protect your neck? They were talking about this.
And Coors Light came up with a technology to make the bottle cold enough. So
bro, millions of scientists were working on it. Coors Light figured it out. The can itself, there's a little mountain on it, and it turns blue when it's ready to go. Nice, cold, and crisp. And look, I can't be on all the time. Your boy wakes up at 3 in the morning now.
Exactly.
Things are crazy, right? There's only so much time I can be on. So when I want to shut it off and I want to relax a little bit, I reach for one of these bad boys.
Let's go. So Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill.
It's a lot of cold.
Let's go. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's right. That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. And now, here's my conversation.
Yeah. Still hours. Still hours. Unless you hated it, but then it's his.
With comedian Ian Edwards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to a very special and exciting episode of The Cooligans, or an interview. I don't know where this is going to like eventually sort of live. It'll be on the proper podcast at some point, but as of right now, it is a Patreon exclusive, and I am joined by one of the homies who just who just slid in the DMs and been like, "Yo, I'm in town," and we all know what that means. But no, Ian Edwards hit me up. It was like, "Yo, I'm in town. I'm doing some shows. Want to record a pod?" And I'm like, "Yo, I'm in the studio right now. Come through, Ian Edwards. Thank you so much for coming through."
What up, fam, man? And this episode is going to be weird because the Champions League game is on. So we're half podcasting and half watching the game. So if you you have listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
If you see my eye line pointing this way, you know what it is now.
Dude, you've been on the show several times in the past. Literally one of our, I think I told you this before, but you were like, especially you mentioned, I hate to make comedians feel old or anything, but I'm like,
but you're gonna do it anyway.
But I'm like, I grew up watching Ian Edwards, man. Uh-huh. I'm such a huge fan, especially watching you. You did sets on Conan O'Brien that I think were my early sort of memories of you. Mm-hmm. And just one of my fave comics growing up and now. But thank you for coming through, man.
My pleasure, man. Like, you know, we share like two things in common, which is stand up and soccer and football. So, you know, how could I not? And I've done your pod, you've done mine. How could I not hit you up when I'm in town? And when you come to New York, like, you forget people, you know, like,
of course,
sometimes because there's so much shit to do and you get caught up and then, shit, I should have hit this person. But this time I was just more conscious when I was here. It's like, Let me hit him up and see what's up.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. You're in town doing a couple shows that you mentioned, the Bell House you mentioned?
Yeah, the Bell House in Brooklyn, which is Thursday, March 9th at 7:30. And then I'm also going to D.C. to do the D.C. Improv this weekend. Is that another goal?
Connor Gallagher. We were just trashing. Offside.
Oh, my God. That's classic Chelsea.
I wasn't trashing him. Your man was trashing him. Yeah. And then Connor just scored in your face.
He heard me talking.
He's on.
Oh, yeah. No, good. Yeah, he's Raheem off. Is off. Okay, so yeah, like we said, there's going to be some distractions here and there.
Right.
Shouts to you for coming through. So, look,
my pleasure.
Ian Edwards.
And I love the fact that you've changed this former sweatshop into a podcast studio. So this is great.
That's good. I mean, look, the people that were in here were happy we freed them.
Yeah, hey, man. So soccer's good, y'all. Soccer's good. It's free. A bunch of women.
they were saying thank you in some language I didn't understand. Right. But I'm still a savior nonetheless.
Yeah, nonetheless. Yeah. You did your thing. You called SUV. You know, got them out of there.
So the soccer comic rant is your podcast you've been doing a long time, and it's like, right, there are not many of us, there are not many comedians that, right, talk about the beautiful game and, mm-hmm, and try to do try to offer a good service to people that are comedy fans and football fans, right, but it's just me, you, and Alexis on this mountain, I guess. I mean, for people that might be new to you, and then we got to talk about Manchester United because I know that's very important to everybody right now. But what's your experience like as a comic, a veteran comic, and also being a fan of the sport, and talking about it in a humorous way, in a critical way, and then like I remember seeing the clip of you on Joe Rogan,
right,
explaining the sport to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but how much work do we have to keep doing to just like, just, it's like, we're like spreading gospel at this point, right?
Yeah, you just have to be like just any evangelist and just keep spreading the word, man. Just be like Jehovah Witnesses and go door to door, knock on people's door. Can I interest you in Klang? All right, probably not. Knock on the next door neighbor. Can I introduce you in Klang? All right. Just keep going, man. We put on that suit on a Saturday with your Watchtower or your MLS magazine, knock on these doors.
Okay,
try
yeah,
to get
bro,
people engaged.
Are you, yeah, are you in my house watching me, bro? Okay, so I want to get to some of the stuff that's been in the news recently, obviously. In the Premier League, Manchester United did play against Liverpool. Lost 7-0.
Wow.
I saw on your tweet, you retweeted something. You retweeted the image, maybe as a reminder to yourself of this tragic day.
I retweeted the image, and I said they only won by 7. and I stand by that.
Okay,
if Liverpool didn't score 7 goals first, and the 90-minute ended, and the game didn't end at 90 minutes, we would have beat them.
I stand by that. All facts out here. Yeah. No argument there. But this is, look, you are a big Manchester United fan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're born in England, but not in Manchester, no, right?
London,
okay.
Yeah.
And I love when I Google Ian Edwards, it says British comedian, which is not,
it's not
inaccurate.
It's not inaccurate, yeah.
But it is, it's a little, jarring to see.
Right, but, right, because I'm known from here.
Exactly. But how are you feeling through this game? I've spoken to a couple of people about
just like that comment.
So, like, okay.
Defiant.
All right.
Defiant. Like, why not? Like, we've won so much. We haven't lost since last year.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And
we haven't lost since last year. Why would I feel bad? Like, the game was obviously a blip. Like,
okay.
There was 3 goals where the ball just kept on bouncing back.
It was a magnet.
Liverpool players once we cleared it.
Yeah.
3
yeah.
times in the making of those actual 3 goals.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is just not one of those days.
Right. The devil won today. Like, it's one of those, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, these games happen. We just won a cup last weekend, the weekend before.
The roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah,
is crazy.
So it's like, why am I tripping over that? And then I don't live in England. Like, I understand it's tough for Man United fans who live in England where banter is at an all-time high.
Right.
But, like, where am I going to run into Liverpool fans here? So it's like there's less pressure, there's less anger from me about it because I don't have to deal with people trying to at me.
Yeah,
you feel me?
It does feel a little bit like the loss was so ridiculous that it's like, all right, we can forget this because it almost, the fact that it was so lopsided, it makes it almost easier to forget. The problem is that Liverpool fans are already... They're writing them bars because the chants are gonna be crazy. It's gonna be forever until.
I wish I turned my phone off anyway. But you know, Kojo.
Kojo.
He's a.
Oh wait.
He's from England, and he's a comic, and he's a Liverpool fan. And Kojo is pretty funny.
Okay.
And he really knows football, and he really knows Liverpool, and I've been taunting him about his losses. So then he sent me like a video of Salah with his shirt off and he's just laughing while he's watching. And he says, I'm going to just leave this right here. And I replied, you barely won by 7. Again.
One touchdown. It's only one touchdown.
Yeah, it's one touchdown.
Yeah. Not that impressive, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then we beat them. They got lucky. This is the truth. This is all facts. Liverpool got lucky. It was lucky that the ball bounced in their direction several times when we tried to clear it. They were lucky that they were at Anfield. They were lucky that this game was bound to happen to United for us to have a performance this bad at some point because we just won so much. And it did happen. And hey, man, it's just is what it is, but I'm not going to trip over it. It's so crazy. How can I trip? I think we did lose to Arsenal this year. But I think that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, the turnaround for after Ronaldo left, mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of promise and a lot of reason for Manchester United fans to be excited. This result is one of those, like, I think even I was trying to analyze, like, uh-huh. you know, everybody's body language. What does this mean? Is Erik ten Hag done? But
in one game? Jesus Christ.
Because man. But it was just so ridiculous. But I think the only thing is, like, to have a first half where you only give up one goal
right.
and have a second half where you give up six,
right.
it has to say something to how the team feels psychologically. It feels like the players didn't even want to pass to each other. Like, there's no... something happened where they were like, all right, we're done. I'm ready to go home. And at some point, you got to say, if you're wearing a Manchester United shirt, that you there's no excusing having that mentality regardless of what the scoreline is.
Well, the scoreline became that scoreline because we gave up. After like 3 to 4 goals,
yeah.
there was this like, I'm not tracking back, this body language where they just gave up. And they were like, I can't wait for this game to be over so the next game could start. Like, we'll do better next time. And then Liverpool, they just kept on piling it on because they haven't been able to score anything for a while. And you know what? They're also lucky that they got the players that we wanted, too. wanted Darwin Nunes and we wanted Gakpo, and they got them. So they were lucky enough. And it proves that our scouting department is on point. These motherfuckers are the real deal. And they will score on you. So that's another props for
Manchester
United.
Manchester United W. You love it.
Yeah. So, you know, enjoy our players, man. You got them. You got that shit off.
And when it comes to, look, we're watching Chelsea right now. Uh-huh. And we got a foul. Also, Christian Pulisic just joined this game.
Yeah.
But the fact that even from the last time we spoke to you to now, uh-huh. the Premier League seems like it's literally on another level. There is just so much money mm-hmm. being passed around in.
That's not a foul. Yeah. That's
very, very soft.
So soft.
Yeah.
But the dominance that the Premier League kind of has right now, especially when it comes to in a transfer market,
right.
it is. The Premier League gets to decide what players they want first, and then the rest of the leagues of the world mm-hmm. are left to pick up whatever scraps that they left behind.
Right.
But there was a bit of a conversation about a couple weeks ago on CBS, actually, right. in the Champions League coverage, about that the Premier League has now become so dominant, especially in the transfer market, that the other leagues are trying to basically say... the Premier League should support
haters. Hell no. Haters. Nah. This is not Brexit. And even during Brexit, that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Before Brexit, when everybody that had the European Union, take care of your own league. And I'm a Real Madrid fan, but I would never like be in some league with them because they only give a fuck about themselves.
Exactly.
And them in Barcelona take all the money off the top of La Liga and made it what it is. That's why it's worth less than it should be after having 10 years or whatever amount of years it was of Ronaldo and Messi. And you weren't trying to give any money
right.
to anybody in your league, much less anybody else in any other league. But now that you treated your league that way and it didn't help your league thrive, and because the Premier League was being more honest about like who could win something. Like once in a while, Leicester could win something,
right?
You know, or Spurs has hope, or now Arsenal is at the top of the league because the way it's set up, like you can win, you know, because everybody can get money. You just have to do the right thing with the money and hire the right people to help run your thing. Like you think the United should give you money? You have money. You just spent it wrong.
Right.
Like, and I worry about the Premier League's dominance because I don't want them to, like, when you have a lot of money, you get worse at spending it.
Okay.
So I'm just
meaning
worried.
Like you make the wrong decisions or you hold on to it.
You. Some people tend to like just blow it.
Right.
So I'm worried. I don't want us to blow our money. I want to say us to Premier League. I'm a big fan of the Premier League. I want us to like. Everybody still be smart about their money and get the most bang for their buck and not just throw it away at these players from these other leagues because these leagues are like overcharging.
Right, right. Which is going to happen because they know the Premier League has it.
Right, right. And they're jealous and they're haters.
I think Benfica's it's Rui Costa, right? He's the president of Benfica. When they were selling Darwin Nunez to Liverpool, they said, we couldn't believe we got more than 50, 60 million right. for him.
And they just throw out the number yeah. of like, yo,
oh, 100 yeah, million.
100. And they're like, what? They say yes.
and then look what they did for Enzo. Who was that Benfica that had Enzo?
Yeah.
And then like the João Felix money that they sold to Atletico Madrid was ridiculous. Like he's nice, but he ain't 125 mil nice.
Right.
You know, and it just puts pressure on the player. But like, listen, those leagues make money when they sell their players. So what more? They want more money now?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's like the mentality or at least the system of like sharing the money equally, like rising tide lifts all boats. This is why.
You think Real Madrid or Barcelona especially was going to share any of their Messi money? And now they're pulling levers. They ran out of levers to pull. You think like, I'm not going to try. You sold your TV rights. Like, there's no Barcelona. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I heard something that they might be getting in trouble for something about paying a referee or something like that. I don't know.
There was a report that they had paid a referee. I think it was 1.4 million euros for a consulting, in air quotes, consulting contract. Yeah. But I mean, what does that even mean? You're asking a ref to
consultant.
Consult.
Because
how can we cheat better?
Yeah, it's like one of those things of. Like, I guess to give you an update on how to handle new rules or something.
That's what they're saying, but
I don't know about all that. But
you could just go to the referees board and ask them questions. They come. all the teams meet up. And,
right. Every year.
Yeah. And you can probably do it. I don't know the full rules, especially in La Liga, but you shouldn't be able to pay. I don't think you can pay the person whose job is to be honest to consult.
Because there's something inherent in the fact that you're paying them.
It changes the dynamic
right.
of your relationship, and they're inherently...
But was this an active referee or a former referee?
At the time, I believe it was an active referee.
Yeah, that's insane. 'Cause
I hope it was. I want this to be bad. I want this to be as worse as it can be.
Because you usually see former refs on TV. Like, usually they cut to, like, hey, the rules expert, Mark Clattenburg, and whatever.
And they could have done that.
And they Does this count? No. Offside. So, I don't know what's going to happen there. But I think the fact that there's just so much, you see Real Madrid, but Barcelona especially, just like... It like scrambling to find money everywhere to just survive, and they were saying like they needed to. They like they obviously got knocked out of Champions League by Manchester United and Europa League, but they got knocked out, and it was like you could see that like Xavi is sad about the loss, but he's also
kind of relieved.
No, like there's a little bit of like, oh man, we're fucked. Like financially, like yo, he knows. Lost. I'm gonna have to sell the house. Kind of
the house meaning De Jong and whoever else is in the furniture in the house.
He goes, right,
sell some of that furniture. Yeah,
dude, man. So oh my god, we got a little scuffle
little
here.
Handbag
Champions League.
Yeah, they're kind of pissed. The Haaland lookalike is pissed. they're losing.
I thought that was Haaland too.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanna move on from Premier League and talk some MLS because I think for our fans, I think a lot of people, some of their favorite debates or whatever are when you've been on the show and you've been trashing Major League Soccer.
Did I really trash it? Or did I say I don't have the time to watch it because I'm watching the Premier League?
I mean, you said a little bit more than that. You talk about, I think you made a joke about like you wouldn't watch high school soccer or something like that. All right.
Just as an example, because I don't have the time. I don't have the time. Listen, there's been several women leagues in this country that failed because people didn't have the time to watch them. Their time was taken up with something else. So I watched the World Cup and the Olympics.
Yeah.
The other day, they had a tournament on to help prepare the women for the World Cup. It's like, why am I watching that? Because why are you putting on a World Cup before the World Cup?
All right, but you got to prep before every but big
do it,
tournament.
But don't do it in a tournament that's going to show the same teams.
I think you're the She Believes Cup, which is the one that's going on.
It kind of takes the sting out of the World Cup in 2 months. Or whenever it is going
to
be.
I mean, I disagree in that because especially the coaches need to figure out their lineups. They need
but
to
don't they have
out.
Friendlies? Like, why you had a whole tournament? Like
I mean,
one
maybe
place.
It's just to make a little bit of money as well. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know. But
they actually said this is going to be the women's last game. Maybe there's a few friendlies, but this is their last like actual game before
like competitive
the World
game.
Cup.
Yeah,
but all the teams that's going to be in the World Cup seem to be in this.
No. The She Believes Cup is only 4 teams, and it's like an invitational tournament, and that the U.S. Okay. usually wins because they're just such a stronger side.
Right. But was Canada in there?
Canada, it was Canada.
Canada
Brazil,
strong as fuck.
Yeah,
Brazil strong as fuck.
U.S. and man, who's the
Japan?
Other? Japan.
So the top candidates but, to win the women's
so
World
this
Cup.
This is why they do this.
We're in it.
This is why they do this, mainly because especially on the women's side in CONCACAF, CONCACAF from on the women's side is very very poor. I mean, there's not many good teams.
Not enough competition.
Yeah, there's not enough competition. So when they play like the CONCACAF championship to determine who is going to go to the World Cup from this region, it happened last year.
Right,
but the U.S. won every game, blew pretty much everyone out, and it's really like the second and third spots are the ones that like Mexico, Haiti, Costa Rica, Jamaica. Those they're dying to get those spots,
but they weren't in this thing.
They weren't in this thing because they would get completely destroyed by the other competition. CONCACAF right. is just not. It can't compete, especially with Europe.
Right.
I mean, and it's relative. Like I would say, Costa Rica is probably a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jamaica, but overall, it's in this region. It's the U.S. and they're just incredibly dominant and really the only ones that can compete with those other teams that were in the She Believes Cup. But right. I want to talk specifically about
the MLS.
MLS right. because
a beautiful MLS.
A couple years ago,
my league. MLS baby, let's do it.
You know what you sounded like Denzel in Training Day when you said my league. Anyway,
yeah. My league, baby, it's my league.
So the a couple years ago, the uh-huh. first time you were on this show might have been in like it might have been like 2017 or 18 or something like that. And MLS was a definitely a different league back then. But then. You know, you're making the comments, making the jokes, all good. But then LAFC starts in 2018?
Something like that.
Something like that. LAFC joins this league, and obviously you are a stand-up comedian based in Los Angeles.
A few train stops away from
okay.
me.
Look at that. And you're talking about the train, bro. That's how you know you are LA through and through.
Right, right.
But the back then when you were talking about the league, you were making all the jokes. But then LA comes in, and then what do I see on Instagram? I even see it on the broadcast. I'm looking at who's at the games, all the celebs, and I see Ian Edwards at the Bank of California Stadium enjoying games.
BMO.
BMO.
Thank you.
Still the bank. Still
just
the-
get my stadium. Get my MLS home stadium correct in your mouth.
Put some respect on it.
Put some respect on BMO. Thank you. Which I just found out was BMO when I went to the game.
Right.
That's when I found out they switched it.
They also pronounce it BMO as well.
Yeah, get the BMO right, baby.
Okay. I didn't get this tattoo of BMO's feel for nothing.
Yeah.
But... Now that I've been seeing you at games, you've been who have you gone to games with in particular? I think I've seen you with Bill Burr, or I've seen Bill Burr at games.
Yeah, I didn't go with Burr, but I went with Greg Fitzsimmons, Eric Griffin.
Right.
This Sunday I went with I do a podcast, my podcast with this comic from England named Lee Hudson, and he was in LA for the week.
Okay.
So we went to a game because he wanted to go to LAFC games, and I hit up my man Seth, VP of communication at
LAFC. At LAFC, I love it.
And he hooked it up, and we went to the game, man. And we saw my team.
Great
my
game, 3-2, exciting game, a lot of goals.
Should have been 4-0 at one point. They
took away a goal.
They took away a goal, but Did you ever know, find out why they took away that goal? Because live, you know, there's no announcer.
So there was they said that there was a foul on that Murillo fouled Chara during while the ball was in the air. The ball was, Chara was never going to get that ball. There was contact, but not enough, in my opinion, to call a foul. So they took it away. Also, the goal that Chiellini scored probably shouldn't have counted because it was offside. Kellen Acosta was offside when in the buildup before he sent that ball in. So Ilie had passed it sort of back to him because Kellen had taken the original corner.
Why did they draw lines on that?
They don't do lines, which I like. I like that MLS doesn't do the lines because I think I feel like at some point it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
As soon as way more money is involved in you know, depending on where you finish on the table or whatever. Chelsea wins.
Graham Potter, come two on, wins mate. In a row.
Come on,
three
mate.
Goals.
Chelsea.
Yeah, like it's going to be one of the easiest press conferences he's had in a minute. Like, he's smiling, he's walking on the pitch. Huge.
I mean, controversial, though, because we know, I mean, that retake of the penalty, I think a lot of people are going to complain. Look, the Dortmund players
are
already yelling at the ref.
But it's been so bad for them.
Yeah, they need this.
They needed, you know... They have had so many bad luck in key moments that they needed good luck.
Right.
Today.
Dortmund is I think tied on points, but they're in second place in Bundesliga.
I want them to win it.
Yeah, I want them to win it too.
A German team that's not Bayern Munich with an English captain wins the Bundesliga.
That would be beautiful.
That'd be, yeah. Also drive Bellingham's price up higher than it even actually
right,
is.
Right. Yeah. But they can just focus on winning the league now. So we'll see what happens. But so it's dope. All right. Like going to LAFC games, and has it reshaped your
going to see my team?
Going to see your
has it reshaped?
Has it reshaped your perspective on just the league as a whole, the quality of the league?
It's getting better.
You got some incredible players.
It's getting better. We just won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
When I say we, I mean we.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Won a championship.
You left your ring at home.
In an amazing game. Yeah. I left my ring at home. It ain't on my fingers right now. And I've also been to the training ground and watched them train and all that midweek. Like, you know, but before I couldn't talk MLS, and I still can't. Not qualified enough to talk MLS because I don't watch it.
Right, right.
And but you know, it's definitely getting better. And you know, anytime soccer is getting better anywhere, I'm down for that.
Okay, yeah. It's good to hear.
But it's just because, you know, I already have a league, which is the Premier League mostly, and a lot of the European leagues. It's just tough to have time to catch MLS games.
Well, make time, bro. I do it. I dedicate my entire Saturday to just watching a bunch of games.
But I dedicate my entire Saturday and Sunday to Premier League. Like, I'm up. I live in LA.
Right, right. You're up.
I'm up
Matt
at
early.
4 o'clock to watch the pregame for the 4:30 game. Like, this is what happened on Saturday. Saturday, I wake up. I forgot what game was the early game.
I don't remember.
But there was only... watch the 4:30 game.
Mm-hmm.
Then was it 2 hours later? Is the next game?
I think it's 7:30, 4:30 and
7:30. Yeah. And then the 11:30, and then we went to the MLS game.
Yeah, it's a long day for you.
It's a long day, bro. so the MLS is gonna have to take a hit, like on a, like a let me watch it basis.
I get it. Yeah. All right. I mean, look, I appreciate the you're at least. Given some right. of your time, so that means something. But overall, like just the the quality of the league is definitely going up, and you're seeing more and more MLS players go to the Premier League, right? Yeah. Miguel like Almirón is a great example, right. Leaving Atlanta and absolutely crushing it in Newcastle right now. So even overall, the way the English look at the MLS is like a little bit. It's not as much. It was retirement league for years,
right.
And now it's starting to be. I'm not gonna say a major player in you know world football, but there's, I don't know, it's creeping up there.
Yeah, and the teams I think are making good money. Like it's a financially solid league.
Mm-hmm.
From I heard it's like the fifth earning or sixth earning league in the world, but I might have just heard that somewhere. Yeah. So I don't know.
I think it might be like attendance or something like that. I mean, attendance, right. Attendance is like really, really good and comparative to like a lot of leagues in the world.
All right. So that's pretty good. And then it's just sometimes one of the things that bugs me about it is it's like when they steal terms and try to apply them to the American version of the European game and just like create your own shit. Like, here's some examples. El Tráfico.
Okay, you don't like this?
Galaxy and
LAFC.
And LAFC. In LAFC's first year, this is El Tráfico. It's a classical match. It's his first year. We don't even know what this club's going to do yet in its first year. And then to drive that in so hard.
Right, the branding is
take your fucking time, bro. This team didn't exist 6 months ago. How are you going to like do that? And then the other day I saw, so there's a guy from Argentina who's on the fringes of the World Cup Argentina team. He plays for Atlanta.
Yeah, Thiago Almada.
Yeah, and then he scored 2 goals the other day.
Yeah.
World Cup winner. World Cup winner. I don't even know the guy's name. I just know he's a World Cup. World Cup has just scored. And it's like the sell is like,
yeah,
where's this guy? No subtlety. It's just like you have no faith in this.
I think the approach has been marketing first and we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
we'll figure out what we're marketing later.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're gonna market it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's destroy Freddie Adu before he even has a chance by calling him America's Pele.
Right, right.
And putting
pressure
on a 16-year-old's back.
Yeah. That look you know? That's
it's like, calm down, bro.
I will give you that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is a common issue. I think because, especially the last, since we've been doing this show for the last 7.5 years, it's at first it might have seemed a little odd, but now I'm just like, I feel like I'm part of the problem. I'm like, yeah, Thiago Almada, that's it. Yeah, yeah. He's won. He's a winner. That's it.
Yeah, believe in your league. This kid, how many games did he play in the World Cup? How many games did he get?
Well, I think he subbed on maybe twice.
Right.
Maybe twice. I think once. I remember him playing once for sure.
Right. And it's like, calm the fuck down, bro.
And you know what? He only got on the roster because there were 2 injuries.
Which is fine, but it still makes it more hilarious. You know, that they're like, hey, man, I guess persistence pays off.
Right, right. But Thiago Amaro is the first MLS player, MLS player, to be on a winning World Cup roster.
Oh, I know. You know how I know? Because Thiago Mata, World Cup winner. Thiago Mata. Jesus Christ. That's how I know.
They just lean into heart. I mean, look,
they put the whole league on this kid's back now.
Well, there's a little bit. I think the issue is that when we're watching an American broadcast of soccer, the announcers are talking. They're not talking to you and I. They're talking to, like, the very casual fan that may not know about the sport. So they always treat the audience, and maybe this is, you know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but they always treat the audience like they don't know the sport.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you notice that American commentary on the game has changed the European commentary on the game? Do you remember, like, 10 years ago, if you were listening to a commentator call a game, you could close your eyes and see the game. And then now, like, since the American broadcast of the American game and of some international games started, like, I'm going to just say it's 10 years ago, they started giving football like a baseball feel, a commentary. Like, they talk about the lives and they don't like call the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's like a little bit more personalized.
Personalized about football and thoughts that they had. And
yeah.
And it's like, and then all of a sudden they started doing that in England. You can't just close your eyes or listen to the radio and see the game because they're talking about everything. And then also the tactical thing talk is fine, but people like saying what they think the coach should do now or bring on is like, they've crossed a line that was never crossed before, just in all of football.
Yeah,
but I think it was because mainly because of how you just described, like, trying to get the casual fan.
Yeah.
Like if they could prove that talking like this will get more people into it, then even the original, the OGs started doing that shit.
Yeah. Well, especially when Americans start watching the sport more, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, it's like doing when you do a set in a city that you're not really familiar with, but if you want to do well, you got to say the things that they want to hear a little bit.
But here's the thing. Like when I came to America, I didn't know anything about American football or basketball, but I learned all the rules of those games by watching them without somebody holding my hand right. and walking me through it the way they're doing now.
Yeah.
And I don't have the time to watch the NFL anymore either, or the NBA, but I knew all the rules.
Yeah.
I knew what a walk was, just any call. Like I'd be like, that's offensive foul. That's this. That's this. Mm-hmm. So just from just watching the regular commentary, I don't think you have to patronize and do that.
I mean, it's a difficult question to answer because
no, it's an easy one. Stop yelling, Tia, is it Mata?
Almada,
World Cup winner, Mr. World Cup winner. How did you feel about scoring your World Cup goal? In an MLS game.
It's interesting because look, especially like we were having these conversations during the World Cup
right.
where Fox had the broadcasting rights and Fox does the, I'm gonna hold your hand because I'm assuming mm-hmm. that, you know, you're probably gonna watch the World Cup in 2026 that we're also broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that you come back mm-hmm. and continue watching this product. Mm-hmm. So, it's their approach. I don't know if that is the best. It might be the best.
Can you ask somebody? Ask somebody that's like works on like what are they really trying to do? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, I know a couple people that just worked on the broadcast and who've been on this show, mm-hmm. and it's for Fox. The World Cup was very financially beneficial for them, so okay. it they could at least point to the numbers and say like what we're doing is working. Right. It may not. You know the diehard fans mm-hmm. might be slightly annoyed with this, mm-hmm. but to them it's worth it to gain a whole new audience or whatever
because they're paying for this expensive. Let me ask you a question: how financially beneficial was it? Was it financially beneficial enough to be like, let's do this again in December?
Like another Winter World Cup?
Like another Winter World Cup beneficial. Was it that?
I'm going to assume no, but I don't exactly know. And it might be one of those things where in the United States, it might be beneficial because mm-hmm. maybe more people are at home. There's no, a lot of people were concerned that it was because they were competing with the NFL, but there were games during the week
right.
and during a time when you're not you're competing with the NFL or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they made hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe mm-hmm. billions for all I know. Right. But the overall, like, it's going to be difficult for people like us to be like, yo, you don't need to do all this. They're going to be like, nah, we're making it to the money. We're we're good or whatever.
They probably have the data to back up changing.
So, but that's the thing. If like every World Cup is essentially the World Cups are not for us anymore. We're like, it's for the kids. Everybody has a story about like, oh, I started, especially in the U.S., like, right. oh, I really got into the game because the 2002 World Cup or the 98 World Cup, and I saw this guy, and then I started following him forever. And then that's kind of the point of that.
I just don't like how broadcasters treat us like old Spectrum customers. Like, if you're an old Spectrum customer, you're playing $900 a month for cable. Right. But if you ain't joined yet and you're new, $20 to join. And I'm paying $900. How is this person paying?
How do I get that deal?
No, you can't get the deal. You're already in. So as a matter of fact, we're raising yours to $1,000.
For even asking.
But if you know any new people, tell them we're charging $20. So it's like, we get the... an existing customer gets the raw deal, baby.
Yeah, dude, bro, yeah. It sucks, man. Mm-hmm. That seems to be how it goes, dude. Dude, Ian Edwards, man, thank you so much for hanging out, man. This is
I'm glad I hit you up. And I'm staying down the street. I walked here. We watched the game. And boom, met the homie.
Yeah,
and,
dude, it worked out.
And congrats, Chelsea won.
Yeah,
big one. Dude, everybody's happy. Everybody, yeah. Make sure go follow Ian Edwards on Instagram, on Twitter, on Instagram. I know he posts a lot. You also do. Who's the dude that you do the sketches with?
Paul Alaya.
Oh man, so funny. I love these. Yeah, yeah. They're
the roommate sketches. Yeah,
yeah, man, they're great. So
thank you.
At Ian Edwards Comic on Instagram, go check them out. You have a special that you did on. What network? What was it on?
It's on Comedy Central, but I think you can get it on Amazon Prime too.
Okay. And also, a hilarious, bless you, brother. Hilarious special. It was like a PowerPoint presentation and stand up.
Yeah, it's like a spoof off a TED Talk.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's super funny. Please go check it out. And as always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere you get social media. It's all over there. You can follow me at Chris Polanco on Twitter, Christian_Polanco on Instagram. And shout out to producer Mike Miguel. A lot of people have been because Alexis and I are Hispanic, mm-hmm. and Mike is not. They just everybody's like he's Miguel now. So.
What up, Miguel?
Miguelito.
Miguelito. All right. But everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. We'll see you later. Peace.
Boom.
Another wonderful interview.
Shout out to Ian Edwards. Thank you so much for coming through.
What a shame I wasn't here for that.
It was a shame. There were moments when, even while I was talking to him, I'm like, oh, Alexis would have yelled at you right now.
No. This I think I know the moments you're talking about.
So, but no, it was awesome that Ian came through. Like I said on our chat with him, go follow him. Go check him out whenever he's doing stand-up. He tours all over the country. Seriously, hilarious comic. Yeah, love that he came by.
And just like Coors Light, he's very chill on stage.
Without a doubt.
He's a placid man. And by the way, we got superstar comedians on the show. You just never know who's going to come through that door right there, bro.
Anyone could come through.
Anyone.
Okay, you know, Jerry Seinfeld juggling a ball.
Anything happened. Dancing like Messi at the club. Anything happened, bro.
All right, so we'll be back tomorrow.
Yes.
With another exciting episode, another fun interview. We're going to be joined by Bethany Balser,
yes.
of OL Rain.
OL Rain. Or wait till you see what I say.
Alexis is a part of that one, and I kind of feel like he probably didn't want to be.
No, I love that one. Don't say that. I probably shouldn't have been after my intro. But I do. No, we stopped her in the street. It's a great interview. You got to check it out.
Yeah, so go check that out tomorrow. So we appreciate everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Follow the Cooligans everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. Join the Patreon as well, because I got to feed my babies.
Yeah, this kid's got a baby, bro.
Patreon.com/soccercooligans.
A little baby had a baby.
Okay. How can a baby have more of a baby face than this baby face? Yeah,
you and the baby are going to look like you're the same age.
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow. Everybody, peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.